Hello, everyone. This is Pack One Pick One Podcast. I'm here again with Mason Lang.
Heyo.
Alec Haste.
Fuck, I'm Tiny Rick.
And I'm Josh Richter. Today,
this is our Rick and Morty podcast, where we talk about Rick and
Rick and Morty.
Yeah. How sad is it that that's not coming out until July, right?
Oh,
is that,
man,
the official date?
Something like that. It's too far.
It'll probably get pushed off a few more months at that point. That's good. Yeah. Solid. Way to go.
I just barked a little in my mouth.
You're disgusting. Okay.
So we're going to do this segment. It'll be recurring periodically throughout the lifespan of this podcast, where we're going to do like a Cube Doctor or a Build the Cube series. And each one will probably span a few episodes. This first one, we're going to... My fellow cohorts here are going to look over my horror cube that I've designed.
Your first draft of the horror cube.
My very first draft of the horror cube. I've done a lot of the groundwork, like poured already way too much time into designing this, with the idea in mind that it's supposed to be very heavily inspired by or emulating the H.P. Lovecraft mythos, which is largely an inspiration for the both Innistrad blocks. So there's a lot of Innistrad stuff in here. You can really think about it as an Innistrad plus cube. It's going to emulate a lot of the draft archetypes that both original Innistrad had, excluding Avacyn Restored. It's mostly Innistrad and Dark Ascension, and then the Shadows of Innistrad, which introduced kind of like the whole body horror, cosmic horror theme that was found in a lot of H.P. Lovecraft's works. So that's going to show up in here too. So there's several draft archetypes that are supported, or I'm going to try to support, from that block as well.
Which is cool, because obviously anyone who played a lot of Innistrad Limited, original Innistrad Limited, knows that that format was super dope.
Yeah, triple Innistrad draft is hailed as probably... if not the best, one of like the top three greatest draft formats that Wizards has ever made. Largely
followed immediately by Avacyn Restored draft, which was terrible.
Yeah,
yeah, that was worst. Yeah. That was titty fucking
I've only
shit.
Ever gotten to play in one Star City Games draft open, and it was triple Avacyn Restored level. I beat Brad Nelson in the top eight. Super sad.
See, I've only actually drafted. Because I've gone to several pre-releases where it's always been sealed or two at a giant or whatever. I've only drafted Innistrad ever.
I drafted a bunch of Innistrad Limited. So yeah. I'm fairly well versed in the art of the Innistrad.
And Alec, you've drafted more Innistrad than I have.
I was in the league for Innistrad draft and okay. Avacyn Restored draft. Which was miserable.
Yeah.
Although once they gave me 3 homicidal seclusions and 2 barter and bloods, and I just fucking dick stomped everyone.
That sounds awesome. Homicidal seclusions was a fun vector draft in that format, yeah, because it was one of the only ones you could get away with that weren't just big dumb green idiots.
Yeah. Well, and didn't you had like multiple Federgeists, multiple demonic taskmasters, and then a bunch of seclusions, and like
3 of them,
three seclusions, yeah.
Yeah, like and, I wasn't even playing the same fucking game that everyone else was.
That's dope. It's like a Voltron suit up, but then you don't get blown out when your opponent removes your guy. You just literally play any other guy. Like, aha! It's happening.
I played like that 1/1 shade with Undying with
yeah,
2 of those in play.
Yeah, the 4-mana 2/2 with yeah. Undying. Yeah,
it was insane.
That was fucking dope.
On his worst side, he's a 5/3 life linker with then Undying.
Yeah, it was dope.
Not that's the 2 almost out of exclusions. Then is an 8/5.
No, eight, he was right. It's only +2/+1.
And then it's +3/+1.
It's +3/+1.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's a 5. He's a 5/3 on the front side, and then when he undies, he's a or were you have a second seclusion? Yeah, things rule big.
Yeah, no, it was insane. But
so
enough about shitty draft formats. Let's talk about a potentially awesome draft format.
Yes. Yeah, so give us an idea of what we can be expecting when we dive into.
Okay, so we're gonna lay this out. We're gonna go in Wooburg order. You know, we're gonna start with white. I'm going to lay out what I tried to do with that color and what it's going to do in relation to some of the other colors without delving into each color too much until we actually get to it. And then Mason and Alec are going to provide advice, some restructuring, anything that they think needs changing or that they like or don't like. We could talk about draftable archetypes and what's supported, what they think isn't. And we're going to go through each color, and this is probably going to take multiple episodes. What, Mason? No. What are you? I'm just
looking at them. So one thing I noticed right away in your initial layout here is that you've got a few multiple redundant copies. I was trying to...
You're trying to hint at...
What are we getting ourselves into with this cube? Like, other than just the breakdown of, you know, how we're going to be approaching it, like, what did you go for with this cube?
Okay, so one of the glaring differences between this and other, like, say, your traditional Legacy or Vintage-style cubes is most cubes don't break the singleton rule. I'm going to break the singleton rule with this as a physical structure to support very specific archetypes more heavily with, like, either certain engine cards or cards that just do what they do the best for certain synergies within decks, or the synergies they have with other colors. So, like, for instance, the very first thing in white here, we have three Doom Travelers. You know, uh-huh. So, like, there's like, three Doom Travelers, there's two Intangible Virtues. So, like, there's certain cards that, like, just kind of point you in a direction, like, hey, this is a, you know, a very draftable deck. There's a lot of redundancy. I wanted a lot of redundancy in the decks that I wanted to be prominent. And then some of the more powerful cards are left as the one-ofs, you know, or the very utilitarian cards are left off as one-ofs.
So you get a little bit more of that limited experience where sometimes you have multiple copies of your engine card and then one-offs to support it.
Exactly.
But you've got a wide base of support.
Right. Yeah, it's still
few ways to get paid.
Mostly singleton. I've just tried to double or triple up on cards that I felt were very important to have either in multiples or have a chance to see in every game that you play with them. To make certain decks tick.
That's fair. So you got, you know, several Tarmogoyfs, I assume?
Yes, like 10. 10 Tarmogoyfs.
It's probably too many.
Nah. Tarmogoyf's bad in cube. Don't you know that Tarmogoyf is bad in cube?
They're better in multiples, though. Because when the first one dies, the next ones get bigger.
Duh. Only the very next one.
Well, all of them. All of
they
them
don't count multiples.
Don't look at me.
When are you going to step in?
How far are you going to let this go?
All right, so besides...
I don't give a fuck! I'm Tiny Rick!
So besides breaking the singleton rule for either redundancy or synergy's sake, and also to give it that limited feel, I also went very top-down on the design, as a lot of the Innistrad cards already were, because I want it very heavily themed. With
theming. Multiple card rules.
Fuck. Genius! So, in H.P. Lovecraft's mythos, like, there's the main theme that's found throughout all of his works is man discovering or battling something much larger than themselves, and that they can't possibly understand. Like, they can't grasp the existence of these cosmic beings, or this otherworldly presence, you know? Like, Cthulhu is public domain at this point. Like, pretty much every board game known to man has, like, the obligatory Cthulhu expansion, right? Everybody knows who Cthulhu is, but, like, there's so much more in the Lovecraft mythos that Wizards of the Coast even touched on in Shadows of the Innistrad and Eldritch Moon with all this, like, this weird tentacle stuff, you know, and these, like, alien creatures bursting out of humans, and so, and I've tried to capture that here by sticking very heavily on theme. So, like, like, I was talking to Mason earlier about, he's like, how many Eldrazi are going to be in this cube? You know, because, like, that does fit, obviously, that's what Wizard's Choice was.
Tentacles!
It's
also a song by Metallica.
For representing
written by
that.
Dave Mustaine, Ride the Lightning, called Cthulhu. What up? You know, it's funny. Sorry, I'm going to interject here. It's funny that you brought up that Innistrad was, you know, themed after maybe, you know, touching on that Cthulhu mythos. I always just assumed they were trying to tap into the Japanese market a little harder.
Are you trolling? Or are you
tentacles?
That is profiling.
Is that racist? I think that's not even right. That's like anti-weeb. more than it is. Yeah, like Weeblue or whatever. However you, the fuck you pronounce that.
Weeble wobbles, like, they don't fall over.
No, Jesus. Now who sounds like the idiot?
You don't even know what a Weeble wobble is, do you?
I do know what it. They wobble, but they never fall down. Wow. Oh, ooh, yeah. Mason's live in the 90s. Fuck you guys.
I don't know what a weeb is.
A weeb? It's like, it's a kind of maybe semi-derogatory slur for kids who are like really into anime. Like, oh. Really, like, overly into Japanese culture. Like, you know, kids who grew up watching a lot of Naruto.
How can it be a slur and only semi-derogatory?
I mean, like, well, because it's definitely one of those things, like...
It's like calling a white person a cracker.
Yeah.
Does that really offend you?
Well, or, like, I'm pretty sure it started...
I like
crackers. As a way that those people described themselves, but then other people kind of started calling them fucking weeboos. Because...
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I have heard the term
moving
before. I didn't
back
know
on.
That's what, well, wait. Backing up. Were you trolling, or did you really think that about Innistrad?
I was just
totally
making
trolling.
A joke.
Okay.
Right. I was going to not touch on the fact that I was making a joke, so that, you know, the listeners at home could be like, God, Mason really is the dumb one in the group, but now you ruined it. So
okay, A, they already do. B, jokes are way funnier when you explain them.
What?
Oi.
You're fucking noob. All right.
Moving on. So, yeah, very heavily themed. Oh, you asked me if there's going to be a lot of Eldrazi. And then you look through this white section, and you're like, where's Eldrazi Displacer? And I was like, well...
The one white Eldrazi.
Yeah, well, I'm stuck to theming so heavily that there's not even, like, cards with art that don't really represent the theme of what I'm trying to create here. Very dark, mm-hmm. very gothic mm-hmm. horror, you know. Like,
no angels!
There's no angels in this cube. That is the one glaring difference between... the Innistrad sets, and what I'm going to be doing here with a lot of the Innistrad cards.
Innistrad was an angel-heavy fucking influence.
Yeah. And I've cut out Avacyn and all her hosts.
Wait, so they're demons? They're demons or no?
They're... currently are not demons or devils, but that's something when we get to, like, Black and stuff, I wanted to actually talk about a little bit, whether or not we felt some should be included more solely on, like, what they could do for archetypes. So
at some point, like, I might have a lot of stupid sounding questions, and that's because I don't know anything about H.P. Lovecraft, so I might have to ask, you know, oh, are there demons in Lovecraft?
There are, like,
uncultured swine.
Like, for example, I've actually included, like, vampires as a tribal element in here. There aren't hardly any vampires in the H.P. Lovecraft mythos. There's the existence of one being called, and he actually based this around a different... author's work that came way earlier than his, called The Horla, which was like a spirit vampire that like visited. It's a short novella about this person who the entire thing is written as diary entries about being visited by this presence in their sleep. Wow. And it was the closest thing to vampirism that Lovecraft has ever included in
so
any of his works.
Vampires.
No, I just said I did put vampires in here, which is kind of outside of that, but they were supported in Innistrad, and because of that, and I also really like vampires, and they fit gothic horror, so this is more of a blending, like I said, Innistrad plus. It's like a lot of the best things from Innistrad, plus a little extra support from outside sets to kind of create that all-encompassing mythos, so.
Okay, all right, cool.
If you ask dumb questions, don't feel bad. Like
the magic spin on...
Yeah, this is the magic spin on a Lovecraftian experience. Universe.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool, I dig it.
All right, so white is human-based.
It's the color of hope in this bleak world.
It is. It's just like Innistrad.
That's fucked up.
It's very heavily based in humans and spirits. Those are the two, like, if we broke it down into tribes, those would be the two tribes that are very heavily supported.
So does not having the one white Eldrazi make you a racist? Because I think it does.
No.
All right, fine.
I'm not racist against Eldrazi.
Well... kind of feeling like it when there's no...
Well, you'll know when Emrakul shows up and fucking eats him first, or whatever she does.
She might, too. Josh, come over here. Alec, Mason, you guys are cool. Moving on.
Fuck yeah. Suck it, Josh, I get your cube.
That's fair.
Oh.
No, we're gonna
we already have an agreement that when he dies, we're gonna Iron Man draft his cube and toss the... torn cards just into his open casket.
Yeah.
Like, at the wake. It'll be really disrespectful to his family, but Josh will know.
Yep.
He might have to put it in, like, the reading of his will so that, you know, the rest of his family is forced to understand.
Yeah, and,
forced.
Like, in the will, there's gonna be, like, bouncers at the doors. Like, mm-hmm. people are gonna be locked in the room to make sure that it's actually Iron Man. Nobody gets to escape with any of my cards. Mm-hmm. They're all getting ripped up and burned with my 100% body. Dead. So
yeah. All that value lost, just as, just as any Magic player would like to go out. An infinite trove of lost value. Oh, into the ether.
All right, so Mason, what do you think of White as you kind of peer over it? Obviously, you listeners at home, the list is going to be posted at the bottom of each episode, so you can reference it back after we're
right
done.
Right on. But... so I'm checking it out, and I see a lot of tokens, and I see a lot of humans. So... there looks like a lot of, you know, the Doom Travelers. So, obviously, I'm looking at the cards that are multiples of.
Yeah.
And there's, like, Doom Travelers, Intangible Virtues, Twilight Drovers, and Suture Priests, at least, that I can see right now. Along with a few of the different rares. Obviously, there are a lot of rares, but a few of the different rares, at least, lead me to believe that, like, there's going to be quite a bit of token synergy going on here. Maybe mm-hmm. a little bit of, like, an Aristocratsy-type theme, maybe pairing up with, like, Black or... is that, yeah. like, something you're going to
yes.
put in?
Okay. Pairs up with Black or Red. Much more Black, you know?
All right.
Like, all there's right. some token support in Red, like Thatcher Revolt, things like that
I,
are in here.
There's, like, a role-playing game called Call of Cthulhu, right? I've heard
yes.
of that.
Yeah.
In that, I don't know, I've never read Call of Cthulhu, but...
you should. I know you're not a huge reader, but you should.
Isn't a key part of that whole story, like, detectives and...
yes.
So I was thinking, wouldn't Thraben Inspector make more sense
as a multiple
copy card than Doom Traveler? I mean, Doom Traveler seems like a better card, considering all the kind of cross synergies it's got over here, but Thraben mm-hmm. Inspector might be a little bit more flavorful, it sounds like.
It's probably true, along with Town Gossipmonger. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, the idea of, like, word spreading very fast about creepy things happening in the world around you stuff, like... and then being turned into, like, what is it, incited rabble? Yeah.
Yep, form the mob.
Yeah. So, Thraben Inspector was one that I thought about adding a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
Also because I do want... I'm undecided. Like, I'm on the fence about supporting the Clue archetype from mm-hmm. Shadows of Innistrad. Mm-hmm. I really love the card Ongoing Investigation.
Yeah.
But I don't know if just having a few copies of Ongoing Investigation is enough to, like, push a deck into that.
There are only a few cards that pay you for having clues in the first place.
Right.
They're kind of few and far between. Not that they're not good, but I mean, it could always just be a really light synergy. The kind of the nice thing about clues are that they're just draw a card.
Right.
I mean, you don't need to have a lot of cross synergy. You don't have to have a Lord effect to get paid for having a clue. You just need two mana, you know, a clue.
Right. Well, and I know, like, one of the cards that pushed that deck... like, if you're drafting the Clue deck, right? Like,
right.
Grafmole was really important.
Because,
like, you just
huge.
Gained a lot of life, which gave you a lot of time to get
it
your
also has
going.
Little tentacles on its snout.
It does.
It's kind of cute. You know, if you were looking for...
more tentacles?
More tentacles. That's... so, the only thing I know about Lovecraft is literally just the brief skimming of Call of Cthulhu that I've...
yeah.
you know, that I know of, just in role-playing games. So, that's all I got. So, I'm going to be looking for, you know... tricorn hats mm-hmm. and tentacles. That's my whole... that's it. That's all I got. FYI.
I mean, what more do you want than that?
I mean, clues are a nice way to smooth out and make your games go a little bit more... what am I trying to say here? It's a nice way to smooth out people's draws and make sure the games are a little bit more interactive.
Right.
That was kind of one of the better parts of Shadows Over Innistrad Limited, was the fact that clues not only drug the games out a little bit,
yeah,
but also, like, you know, made people more consistent in hitting their land drops and finding their important cards.
Mm-hmm.
For a cube environment, having, you know, cards that draw you more cards is, you know, always nice to find your lords or whatever they are.
Sure.
Maybe the few... the power level difference in some of these cards seems pretty glaring.
Okay. Namely?
Okay, so, I mean, just in your one-drop slot, you've got Doom Traveler, which is a dope magic card. Like,
yeah.
That card seems like it's going to have a ton of
synergy. I mean, the
card
won a Pro Tour, right?
Across a lot of things, yeah. I mean, the card's great. And you've got, you know, a Champion of the Parish. That card's probably insane. And then you've got a Selfless Cathar, which is, like, pretty terrible. That card's just actively pretty bad. obviously, it's cute, you know, when you've curved out of a spectral procession or something, you can get your value out of it. Maybe you got value out of it because it's a human, and you had an anthem effect, something like that. But that's a pretty glaring power disparity. I mean, over here you've got cards like Mausoleum Guard or Sanctifier of Souls next to Geist-Honored Monk, which was one of the most powerful rares in its limited format. I mean, Geist-Honored Monk's insane. I mean, it was even a powerhouse in Standard, if I remember. Next to just, you know, a bunch of cards that are not bad by any means and certainly have some cross synergy, but, you know, are going to have a hard time competing with that card on a power level basis.
Sure.
So if you have a limited environment where your cards are not all at a basically equal power level, clues can be a little bit of a way to smooth that out, I think, and make sure that you're hitting the cards that are important to you more often in your games.
Sure.
So
do you think, well, going back to the power level disparity, do you think that that's a bad thing?
I think when constructing
a cube, let's like in general, talking about just cube construction, do you think having a power level disparity between a lot of your cards, or like a larger disparity than, you know, say a legacy style cube, does that create such a heavy imbalance that it's going to be really noticeable, or like make the draft feel worse?
Well, I think Magic at its core has always been a little bit of a game of, am I going to have a lot of pieces that fit together to form my big machine, or am I going to have a lot of, you know, big pieces that kind of work
on their own, or a lot of machines.
That's
like,
yeah, that's
one big machine or a lot of little machines.
That's the way that Magic, that's like, that's a struggle that's been involved in Magic since, you know, long before I played, whether or not you want the individual power level of your cards to matter more than you want the synergy across them. And I think in the last couple of years, specifically, across all formats, we've been seeing a little bit more synergy-driven power. The best decks have typically been like these kind of synergy-oriented decks. Khans of Tarkir Standard was a little bit of an exception. That was kind of a power level ruled. But even then, you had, you know, the Rally of the Ancestors deck or whatever. That was a very synergy-driven deck, right? No one ever talked about that deck being just a deck full of powerhouses until Reflector Mage got printed, right?
Right.
But
the deck was all Moldrifters, not Baneslayers.
Yeah, it was all a bunch of dorks, and generally I think that the cube, where all the cards are super powerful on their own, you know, that legacy cube style of construction, I think that actually breaks the mold for the way that Magic feels in most formats. And I think having a larger power level disparity, especially in this cube that you mentioned to me before, will feel a little bit more of a traditional limited feel, because you've got these multiple kind of cards, and you've got a lot of, you know, maybe redundancy through different cards. I mean, you've got similar effects across different cards, so it'll feel a little redundant. I think having those big power level differences, those bombs and those role players, will make it feel a little bit more of like a traditional limited environment. So, I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that's probably fine.
And in Sol Ring and Mana Crypt.
Ooh, that's a great idea. Because then, instead of playing Doom Travelers, we can just play Geist-Honored Monks on turn two. That's great. Figured it out, Alec. I'm so proud of you.
So, alright.
Geist-Honored Monk costs 5. It'd be on turn 3.
No, it was a Mana Vault.
You play both.
Oh.
Yeah. Or you just play Mana Vault, which Mason lost 2. How many cubes in a row now?
It's the last 2 cubes. So immediately after we recorded our episode talking about broken fast mana, and I think in that episode I even said Mana Vault's not that bad.
Yeah.
We went and cube drafted at my house on Thursday night, and I crushed everyone and then promptly lost 2 games in a row to Mana Vault.
Yeah.
Just turn 2 Mana Vault, or turn 1 Mana Vault, turn 2 like Thunder Maw Hellkite, and just, oh, I'm dead in, you know, 4 turns, and that sucked. My deck was not perfect or anything. I mean, it was certainly soft to the early big threat, but then, you know, game 2 he just plays like a turn 1 Mana Crypt, and turn 2 like Hellrider Nest Invader or something. I'm just, oh, that's fucking cute. Way to go. Good job, me. And then
the cube
we drafted
the next night.
The next night, and I won both my matches, except for the blue-black control opponent that I played against, who had Mana Vault on turn 1, 3 games in a row. And his opening in game one was beautiful. He plays turn one Mana Vault, turn two on an open board. I just have a land to play. He plays Swamp, Yhenny's Expertise, no value, and then Ashiok off of it. Starts milling my deck.
Because he didn't have the blue?
He didn't have the blue. So that was the second
So he attack. Paid a 4-mana Ashiok off of his Mana Vault on turn 2.
That was attack. I think he might have also snuck in, like, a Signet or something there.
Oh, sure.
But, like, the Signet wasn't blue, and the filter land that he had was not blue. So it was just, he just couldn't make blue mana and decided, fuck it! And then, you know, I wound up... I think that was the one game that I won, because I had one card left in my deck by the time Ashiok was finally done fucking milling me. But... I played, like, Dragon Fodder, Krenko's Command, Hordling Outpurse, yeah. Just had a ton of tokens. I was like, yeah, nice Yhenny's Expertise. Idiot, bet you wish you had that one. It was a good time, though. Mana Vault, pretty fucked up magic card. Moving on.
Yeah.
In addition, I do see in the white section, there's a lot of... So it looks like there's some, like, life gain synergy. I see that there's a Lone Rider here...
It's a Lone Rider, there's a Blind Obedience, there's a Faith Spetters, there's Nearheath Chaplain has lifelink.
Pious Evangel. So there are Pious Evangel, there are a few there's ways two to Suture gain Priests. Life. Are there other payoffs for gaining a lot of life kicking around here? I'm looking around.
In white, no, not necessarily yet. And that was another thing I wanted. Oh, there's Drog Skull Cavalry, but that's kind of like...
Right.
That's just a bomb in itself.
I was looking around and I was seeing some ways that to kind of gain incremental life. Not huge swings, but you know, that kind of Blood Artist style where you're getting 1/1/1/1, whatever. Yeah. And I imagine Blood Artist and Friends are in
the black section. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So between those two colors, you've got a few of those effects.
Right.
Are there any cards in your black section that are going to deal with, you know, gaining life, paying you off for...
There's a lot of cards that, like, that gain you or drain your opponent. Like, Calastria Highborn's in there. There's multiple Blood Artists.
Sure.
Let's see. There's, like, gaining life is a way to offset cards. Like, there's a Graveborn Muse in here.
Okay, sure. I got that.
There's, let's see...
I was thinking that's something along the lines of, what's that enchantment? Whenever you gain life, they lose life. Like, that's the
Blood. Yeah, Exquisite Blood. That card's blood not and... good. No, it's but not.
That's just, like, the kind of effect I was thinking about.
There really isn't, like, a major payoff card for gaining the life, no.
Okay, sure.
It was more an incidental... Like, the Suture Priests and the Pious Evangel are in here more as, like, the White's version of, like, Blood Artists, right? And ways to offset, you know, or help you win a race.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're winning a race.
Yeah.
Not having to worry about blocking. Even though you've got a few pieces in here that are going to give you vigilance. Right. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And we have, like, the tapper guys, like Sigardian Priest, Abyssinian Priest.
Yeah, you don't have, I guess it wouldn't make any sense to have Gideon's Lawkeeper.
And exactly. Theming, like, so that's also part of the reason you're probably going to see a lot of, like, that power level disparity, where there's cards that do exist in Magic that do what some of the things in here do better.
Uh-huh.
They don't fit theme-wise, so we kind of have to take a step back and use the next best thing.
Instead of having Brave the Elements, we've got Spare from Evil, because...
Exactly. On theme, it's all non-humans, right? Gotcha. Repel the Abominable, same thing, like, so...
Makes sense to me. You got anything to add over there, Alec?
Not currently.
Anything you're thinking about? Fair enough.
Are there any cards that you're looking at, like, that you think you said something about there should be more Mentor of the Meek before we started recording?
Well, I mean, Mentor of the Meek seems like a slam dunk in this.
Yeah.
Just because there are so many little guys that you're going to be slamming into play, either that you cast or, like, when some of these guys die and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the greedy part of me wants more Mentor of the Meek, but it just might be too good. Micaiah seems very silly. I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's dope. I haven't seen that guy see any play since.
Do you have both of them?
I've been debating on putting the zombie version in.
That card's a
huge bomb. Like, and Nick, because this is going to feel a little more limited, like, there are going to be cards where it's going to be like, jeez. Yeah. And I thought Micaiah the Unhallowed was going to be, like, maybe just too good. Like, I don't know. That was another thing I wanted to address as we kind of go through all this stuff, is, like, should I up the power level a bit by cutting some of the chaff and just making more multiples of more powerful cards? Or, because I didn't, the more you do that, the less deep I think the draft format feels. Right. Because you're just going to have so many decks are going to end up being the same things, just
multiple
players have them, and I don't want that. So,
well, and again, if you're trying to emulate a more traditional draft experience, like some of the cards aren't so great.
Yeah.
You have 22nd and 23rd cards that are little more than filler if they're even that good. And it seems like, for the most part, none of these cards are, like, strictly god-awful. At least not that I see.
No, I strayed away from the draft chaff, you know, of the Innistrad sets and stuff. Like, I really wanted, you know, some of the best cards even on the lower end of the spectrum.
Sure.
And cut out anything that just, like, people would never play, you know?
Yeah. I gotcha.
You've got a few, like, overalls. Like, I
see White doesn't have very much of a top end here.
They really don't. No. And that's what the problem is. Cutting Angels, you lose your top end. Because, like, you had, you know, even Archangel Avacyn was a sweet top end. That was the first one
that I thought of. Yeah. I think I thought about it on the way here today. I was like, Archangel Avacyn's dope. That card's great. It's not seeing any playing Standard right now, so it's been on my mind a lot lately.
Yeah.
Card's sweet. Not going to be in the cube.
No.
A little weird.
I thought about adding the sisters, Gisela and Bruna, for the meld half of it. And because they're, like, art-wise, they're a little, like, wonky, right? Because they're changing. But, like, the fact that they're angels really just, like, threw it off for me. So, I don't know. Like, I may have to break on my theming a little bit just to get some more powerful top-end cards or, like, finishers instead of, like, all of these, like, twos and threes, you know, and fours throughout the rest. Like, because the whole cube is going to look like this. Like, the way white looks right now, there's not a lot of giant top-end in anything except, like, green. So,
well, I mean, that's... It makes the ones that do exist very valuable.
Yeah.
It also gives you a little bit more incentive to draft mana sinks in your decks. And I'm assuming you have the Innistrad Spelllands kicking around in here?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, the value of those cards go up significantly, especially the ones that are expensive.
Yeah.
When you don't have a ton of top end, you need some way to sink your mana late in the game. I mean, even Grim Backwoods is fine. You have, like, a Gravecrawler if you have nothing else to do with your mana, you know?
Yeah.
Kessig Wolfrun, another one. Really good.
Yeah.
Are there any other... Is there not Lingering Souls in here?
Okay, so all of the cards with off-colored flashbacks are in their respective gold sections.
Really?
Yeah. So,
are there
like,
a lot of them? I feel like there are a lot of them, right?
There's a ton. Okay. Yeah, so the gold section is going to look, like, a little strange. Like, there's... Two feeling of, to give you, like, going over the
spoiler
white cards.
Alert.
Well, yeah, spoiler
Jeez,
alert.
Jeez, I haven't even gotten that far yet.
In, like, all right, so in the gold, like, for white, we'll just talk about the white colors that are off, that have off-color flashbacks.
Sure.
There's two feeling of dreads. Okay?
Okay, that card's great.
And there's one Spectral Shepherd, which is the three mana.
That card's
yeah,
insane.
Okay, that returns your spirits. So, and then, let's see,
there's a Lingering Souls, I assume.
There's two Lingering Souls.
Two Lingering Souls? That's the most insane thing I ever heard in my life. Oh my god. How is anyone supposed to beat a deck
and,
that has two
And in
Lingering
Boros,
Souls?
There's two Rally of the Peasants.
Okay. How is anyone supposed to beat a deck that has two Lingering Souls in it? That's absurd. They'll have eight spirits on the board. It sounds like I'm being sarcastic, but seriously. It's so hard to beat one Lingering Souls, depending on what you're doing.
Well,
but if you don't have the option of just going way over the top, I mean, my god.
Well, the power level of Lingering Souls is high enough, too, that having two in the cube, like, there might be multiple people picking them. So
I guess that's true.
The times that one deck is going to get both copies of Lingering Souls is probably going to be, you know, much less often than you think.
Fair enough. Do you have a Burning Vengeance in here? Is that a thing?
It's in red, Mason. But yes, there's three copies.
Let's talk about Karizev. All right.
There's
right on.
There's no pirates.
Are you sure?
Yes. Why does Karizev have anything to do with Burning Vengeance?
In our...
He's referencing the hard switch from our Aether Revolt.
Jokes
are a lot funnier when they're explained.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you should tell that to Alexander Hamilton.
You're the one who didn't know about him, motherfucker.
I know who he is!
You know who he is, but not that there's a whole musical about him.
Why should I know that?
Earlier
what relevance does it have to my life?
Earlier when I asked Josh if he... I was complaining because several of my friends in the last few months have gone to see Hamilton, and I was really upset. I said, why are all my friends seeing Hamilton when I don't get to see Hamilton? And he goes, what are you talking about? What's Hamilton? And you're like, well, it's a play. And he goes, no, that's Hamlet. Wow. Pretty sad stuff.
Well, and it's like, no, you know, Alexander Hamilton. He's like, oh, it's a president.
We're like, no, that's a president. Oh, my God.
Yes, Josh.
Really sad. Really sad state of affairs. This is the man we chose to build a cube with, I tell you.
That's because my mind is on cubing, not, you know, what president people are making plays about these days.
Oh, a man of focus. Commitment.
Oh,
sheer will.
Jesus. I guess we'll just wait until the next hip-hop rap musical comes out about one of our founding fathers. Probably next year. Whatever. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Schoolhouse Rock for a New Age.
Big B. That's what it'll be called. It'll be all about Benjamin Franklin. All
right. So, spoiler alert. I guess there's not really spoilers. Like, because we need to talk about a lot of these cards in relation to what other cards are in the cube. We're just going to focus on a color in each episode.
Sure.
But to answer your question, yes, there are 3 copies of Burning Vengeance in this cube.
Okay.
That was that was one of the key cards when I decided, hey, I think I'm going to break the singleton rule with this cube.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted Burning Vengeance specifically. It was Burning Vengeance and Spider Spawning, right? Because those are the two, like, big Innistrad draft archetypes
have the coolest ones.
They're certainly, like, the coolest ones, the ones that had the most stories about them, right? Mm-hmm. And they're the ones that actually need multiple copies of their card to really go off, you know, mm-hmm. or to be able to, like, see one every single game.
Mm-hmm. I only want to draft a deck with Burning Vengeance and Gravecrawler in a stack outlet now.
Yeah, right?
That's it.
There's 2 Gravecrawlers in this cube, too.
My God.
So.
My God.
I'm
gonna do it.
So,
oh my God, you could draft Haunted Dead in a deck with a bunch of flashback spells in it?
Yeah.
This is gonna be pretty dope. Pretty excited about it right now.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie. Kind of hyped. Like, I'm feeling it right now. I played a lot of zombies in Standard.
Yeah.
I played the newest zombies.
No, in the newest. You're talking about old zombies in the original Innistrad. I'm talking about the new zombies in the new Innistrad. Oh, man. Poof.
Ooh, yeah. Golly. I went there. Ooh, sick burn.
It wasn't even a burn.
I know. That's why I was making fun of the stupid fucking look on his face.
Josh, that's the third one they had to explain to you.
You're not explaining anything to me!
Are you just having an off night? Is this... You're usually a lot quicker than this. I'm wondering.
Usually
I know
might
you,
be
your
generous.
Mind's been on the cube a lot, but man, that's... You look so resentful. Okay, I got a couple card suggestions here that I'm wondering why the omission. And I know the answer is probably because they're not in Innistrad, so they might not have got caught in your initial look-through, but you've got a Fiend Hunter chilling out. Why no copy of Banisher Priest?
I thought about Banisher Priest. See, so this is one of the biggest reasons I wanted to do this with you guys, because I've looked through... There probably aren't cards that I haven't caught or even, like, that I didn't, like, skim through and was like, make a mental note, you know, and, like, then just kept going. There's so many cards that could have fit into here. I want to know, are there ones that you absolutely think should be over other cards that I have in that you think would either bolster certain archetypes or kind of get rid of things that you think are not really, that don't have a place? You know, so like Banisher Priest being like, yeah, it's kind of the second copy of Fiend Hunter, right? And being a priest kind of fits the theme of white and everything and like and what we're going for here. But like, is there a card, like, are there cards that you think that shouldn't be in because Banisher Priest is just a better card?
That's a question of whether you want, you know, what you're going for in your limited environment, right? I mean, obviously... Banisher Priest is better than several cards in here, but it's also a second copy of a card you already have.
Yeah.
The differences between Fiend Hunter and Banisher Priest are pretty negligible.
I think in this environment, or the one that we're creating, where there's going to be a lot of sack outlets and things like that, the tricks you can play with Fiend Hunter are actually going to be more prominent than, than not. So, like, that difference is actually going to come up more noticeably.
Oh, are there werewolves in here?
Yes.
There are.
Yeah, and they were werewolves was the second thing that I wanted to push into the Breaking Singleton besides Burning Vengeance and Spider Spawning, because there are a lot of bad werewolves and there's a few very good werewolves.
Yes,
and so I wanted to focus on the very good ones to push that deck into like being kind of the fun fringe draft archetype from the Innistrad blocks into like a legitimate strategy. So okay,
that's cool because werewolves are dope. And they have what has to be the most tribal synergy, like payoff cards.
100%.
I mean, there are so freaking many of them, and they're all like generally pretty good, and they're held down by the fact that the werewolves are not very good.
Agreed.
Okay. A Banishing Light.
I would say, I just noticed a total lack of O-rings anywhere in here.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, there's no Oblivion Ring, but Banishing Light would make more sense, right?
Right, at least theoretically.
Sure.
Good.
Okay.
Just because, you know, it banishes, it's light. I did. I wrote Banishing Light and Banish Priest down.
Okay.
I also wrote down Oblivion Ring, just because I kind of put those two together.
I thought about them also.
I mean, there's no way that Banishing Light's not better than Excommunicate. Right? Like, those, that has to be like a slam dunk.
Yeah.
Like, upgrade as far as power level goes.
Sure.
Excommunicate, kind of a flavor win, right?
Right.
Like, I'm guessing that's why it's in here in the first place.
Yeah, there's a lot of cards in here that, like we said before, you know, you're like, oh, Spare from Evil is the Brave the Elements, right?
Right.
And, like, yeah, Excommunicate.
Hallowed Moonlight doesn't actually do anything. Hot. I like it.
It does a lot.
I mean, it's fine when you counter, like, a spider spawning with it, I guess. It's, like, just all the creatures, right?
It's any creature that comes in that wasn't cast, so
I'm just saying. Like,
all right.
Very narrow.
It is very narrow. Going back to Excommunicate, small side, you know, tangent here on its defense, there is, like, there's obvious mill strategies. So, like, putting a creature on top of someone's library and then milling it away. Like,
is there any way to, like, I'm trying to think of a good one. Oh, you excommunicate their thing and then you Shriekgeist it.
Shriek Maw?
The Mind Shrieker. Boom.
Mind Shrieker. Yeah. Yes, Mind Shrieker's in here too.
Mind Shrieker it.
Bird.
Yeah, exactly.
It's hot.
Yeah.
It's hot. Okay. I mean, yeah, excommunicate, like, it was not on the top of my list of egregious cards that should obviously
no,
be in here.
No, I knew it was for it's an example like, for what we're talking about with Oblivion Rings. Yeah, I just
absolutely.
Was, you know. I think there are some cards we should, like, delve into and talk about. It's like, why is this in here? What was your thinking behind this? Like, because that's what I really want to do with this, is, like, dissect this whole thing, you know?
Sure. Okay, I'm following.
Why no Wraths? Like, I could see not putting in Wrath of God, sure, but...
Supreme Verdict?
Day of Judgment?
Ooh, Day of Judgment's kind of sweet, right?
Sure.
Even fucking Rout, if you want to
Hallowed Burial would be a really good one, too.
Oh, that's kind of sweet. What's the Final Judgment?
Final Judgment from Kamigawa?
I'm thinking of the name.
That's a 7 drop, like...
Artistically,
I thought it was 6. I thought it was 4 white-white. Is it 7?
Yeah. It's 7. It's 5 white-white. And it's got a giant dragon on it.
Brutal.
Not really in theme.
Kind of a good point.
But I think Hallowed Burial Terminus
is... It's kind
of
a snaky-looking dragon. It's almost just like one big tentacle.
And you're really pushing it.
When you think about it, you know?
Terminus seems like it would be dope, too.
Yeah.
Terminus is kind of perfect, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously from Avacyn Restored,
Makes perfect sense.
The other one, Descend Upon the Sinful. If we went into
wait, I'm writing both of those down. Those are fucking dope. Descend Upon the Sinful is insane, right? That's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
It's got an angel on it, though, right?
It's fun. That was kind of the...
I feel like I'm so tied
to the theme, but maybe I should just... I don't know. This is also, like, a self-discovery thing. Should I just abandon the HP Lovecraft thing and just make, like, the most powerful Innistrad set cube that
you know,
can make?
What I think...
Or...
I think there are pros and cons to both. The world of Innistrad is a super dope world in Magic.
Yeah, I have
and
the art
any,
book. Did I ever tell you that? I have
I
the huge, like, art book and everything.
Before,
oh, it's so sweet. Like,
I've never seen it personally.
They do not...
Any of the sets in which they've printed multiple times across multiple blocks, I think there's a really awesome argument for making World of Blank, World of Ravnica, World of Mirrodin, World of Innistrad.
Yeah.
Innistrad's a little more narrow than the other ones because it only has 5 sets instead of 6, but the fact that the Innistrad
set went so deep with its limited archetypes kind of makes up for that a little bit.
Well, and I'm, like, talking about that, when I was doing all of my homework, you know, making this whole thing over the past however many months I've been talking about doing it and stuff, that you wouldn't believe the number of Innistrad cubes that exist.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, I mean, you've got people...
It's everybody's, like, favorite draft archetype. Absolutely. Or draft set. Why wouldn't you, right? Yeah.
So...
But, so I'm certainly not, you know, this is nothing revolutionary for everybody at home.
Sure,
like,
yeah, I mean, whatever.
But.
Fuck them. It's not their fucking cube.
You heard.
I didn't mean our viewers. I meant all the other people with.
Innistrad cubes? Yeah.
This one isn't theirs, so deal with it.
Yeah.
I feel, when I was thinking about making a World of Mirrodin cube, I was like, I want to make a World of Mirrodin cube, but I also want to include cards from other sets. And then I was like, what if. But then how am I going to introduce it? I'm going to be like, this is my World of Mirrodin cube. And people are going to be like, this card is from Mirrodin. I'll be like, do you want to fucking draft? You go home, motherfucker. Right? This is not your fucking
cube.
Didn't you
talk about this?
Deal with your disrespect.
You're really, like, off-the-wall explanation of why there's, like, Kaladesh and then other block cards in there was that Tezzeret made an actual planar bridge to other planes.
In the Kaladesh set,
Tezzeret
builds a planar bridge. I'm pretty sure. I'm not a real big lore guy, but I'm pretty sure that happens. I'm pretty sure that was, like, his grand evil scheme. And he builds this fucking planar bridge with the intention of, like, going other places. And I thought, like, well, that planar bridge could be the, you know, planar portal. Was obviously another huge piece of tech that got invented in the Magic multiverse eons ago, however fucking long ago that was in the Magic storyline. And it was another way for powerful artificers to move in between these, you know, these planes. Now we just have a bunch of planeswalkers to do it. But my weird roundabout explanation for all the other cards getting into my World of Mirrodin cube was like, oh, well, there's this planar bridge that all these powerful artificers from all these different planes are using, and they're bringing their toys with them, and they're gonna show down, see who the greatest artificer in the multiverse is. That was my
Tezzeret had a backpack. Fucking explanation.
Got it! Figured it out.
Yeah.
Well, what? Like, if you put in, like, Karn Silver Golem, like, that card's not from Mirrodin, no, but it's like Karn's
from Mirrodin.
He could
have planeswalked on there.
Yeah.
Something like that. Didn't he die on Mirrodin? He died
Karn?
There, right? Yeah, didn't he?
No, Venser died giving Karn his heart.
Well, right, but didn't he get dragged into the muck, like, murdered to death by the Phyrexians? Because the Phyrexians won Mirrodin, right? Mirrodin's
gone. Yeah, but they revered Karn as the father of machines.
In the second set, in Phyrexian whatever, in the new Phyrexian
New
block?
Phyrexia.
New Phyrexia, that's the one.
Yeah.
I thought that was the third one.
That is. Yeah, Mirrodin Besieged.
Mirrodin Besieged. In Mirrodin Besieged, or maybe it's New Phyrexia.
No, because we didn't...
They're like, there's art depicting Karn, and he's like, you know... A zombie. There's zombie Karn.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay,
we didn't even get Karn until
I don't know why we're talking about this in the Innistrad cube episode, but as long as we're talking about this, I think it might have been from the second set. I think it might have been Mirrodin Besieged. If I remember the story correctly, okay?
He was called Karn.
The card corrupted... Right. The card Corrupted Conscience depicts Karn being enslaved by, like, the Phyrexian Drek, whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah, it's not zombie Karn. I know what you're talking about,
but he's
not...
basic. He's like zombie Karn. I'm not saying he's literally a zombie. I'm saying he's zombie-esque. He's been dominated by the Phyrexian Drek. And then I'm pretty sure in the third set he becomes Karn liberated, right? And he busts free and he's like, ah! And then Mirrodin still fucking gets eaten, so I don't know what happens to Karn there.
No, dude, do you realize that Koth and Karn are there together fighting the Phyrexians
still fighting?
Yeah.
Koth fucking died. Didn't Elspeth watch Koth, like, get fucking up to his neck and then suffocated in the Pit of Tar?
I don't think so.
He has to be a really shitty planeswalker.
I so remember the story of Elspeth, like, watching Koth die before her very eyes, and she's like, well, fuck this, I'm out, and she planeswalks away. And then just runs away and never comes back. And, like, I'm pretty sure the implication is that Koth fucking dies. I thought, we are so off topic. Why are... None of us are that into magic lore. I don't know why we're doing this.
I am.
Oh,
that's why I made this set.
Of course you are. What a fucking nerd.
I just like when you're wrong.
Whatever. Fuck you.
It's fair. I just want to see how this one pans out. For all you listeners at home, if you think our shit sucks,
Will you stop it? No one thinks it sucks. Everyone thinks it's great. Haven't you read the comments? Come on. Keep up. Have some self-confidence.
I have plenty of self-confidence. I just like making dick and fart jokes, and apparently...
Oh, is that unpopular amongst the, you know, sophisticated people of the world?
Rosewater confirmed that Koth is still alive.
So. I mean, that's dope. I'm a big Koth fan. I just seem to remember him taking a pretty nasty trip in a tar pit. Throwing it out there.
Sure. Okay, well, yeah, going back...
We'll all be winners.
Are there any elementals in H.P. Lovecraft's world?
What elemental would you like to be in this cube that may not be in this cube?
This is a very general question. I just wanted to know... I'm trying to... I'm thinking about cards a lot, and I was just wondering, is that a...
No.
Okay.
So, because Lovecraft wrote various, like, his works were depicted in his reality.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you know, very plain day, like, investigators, writers going mad, things like that, but, like...
Priests.
Yeah, the things that they... What?
No, I said priests and then diddling little boys. Like,
that's
while you talk. Yeah, it's pretty fucked up when you think about it.
Yeah.
Thank God that doesn't happen in our world.
Don't worry. I don't have that. I don't have to have that one explained to me, Alec.
God. That little boy
I really wouldn't want to explain that one to you. Seems like it would get uncomfortable fast.
Anyways, Lovecraft wrote about all these horrors as if they were happening in his, like, present day, right? Okay. So, like, there's... No, like, elementals weren't really a thing, because that's not...
Not
really,
a lot of, like, fairies and magic and shit.
No, yeah, no. His was all, like, it was either... They were all cosmic beings that were, like, larger and removed from our universe.
In this case, from the Blind Eternity.
Right. Magic's depiction of Cthulhu was Emrakul. Right, okay, and all of Cthulhu's, right. like, fellow, they're called the Ancient Ones, or the Eldrazi, right? They're these giant cosmic beings that we as humans, or the races of the multiverse, can't understand their true purpose, what they're doing, what their motivations are. They just come through and create madness and, like, warp people's minds and destroy everything around them and move on. That's, you know, and... They probably have a purpose, like, in whatever great mind they have. But us simpletons can't figure that out, right? And that was H.P. Lovecraft's whole mythos, too. It was like, you know, there's humans, and then there's these things that are so much larger and more advanced and, like, beyond comprehension. We could never possibly understand what they're doing. So,
I hope Cthulhu is just, like, a construction worker. Okay, hear me out here. I hope in this cube, Emrakul is secretly just, you know... Like a construction foreman. You know, he's building the Blind Eternity Highway. She is just building the Blind Eternity Highway. She doesn't notice all the kind of, like, pebbles she's kind of kicking out of her way. Meanwhile, we're down here losing our goddamn minds.
It's called Emrakul, the Promised End. If she's unaware, that seems like a very peculiar choice of name.
I mean, we promised it. She's just doing her job, man. She goes home at the end of the day, she doesn't think about ending anything. Except, you know, maybe a TV dinner. Chill out, watch some movies or something.
With
her
tentacles, like, holding her remote.
I mean, like, obviously they don't probably have normal TVs, but something along those lines, yeah. Call over her boy Kozlik, they chill out for a while, you know, hang. You have to imagine they have some normal shit going on somewhere, right?
Though, what's the Eldrazi version of Netflix and chill?
It's probably, like... Promise some ends and then
tentacle. End
promise? I don't know. There's some weird tentacle stuff going on in there at some point. Slam drinking it tonight. All right. No, but I mean that seems like an apt description, right? Like someone described
the ceaseless sexual hunger.
Oh, dear God. Oh, when being indestructible really counts.
Annihilate her.
More like annihilate her.
Annihilate that ass.
Oh my god.
I'm Tiny Rick.
I've heard this description before, though, that, like, well, an ant doesn't know when a highway is being built, right?
Yeah.
That's the you know, description I was thinking of. So, being unable to comprehend the plan for the universe of the cosmic beings that dwell in the blind eternity seems pretty apt that they would just be like going about some normal type shit and they just don't even notice. They're just, whatever. Shit gets fucked up around them. They just don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
Seems pretty chill when you think about it that way. None of this stuff matters. All these white cards, get him out of here. I mean, except Eldrazi Displacer. So that guy's cool. What up?
Big Lady Emmy's got some business to attend to.
I mean, I think there's definitely a struggle between whether or not you want to pay super close homage to the H.P. Lovecraft stuff. Because at that point, you're going to be taking quite a few knocks as far as the actual Magic gameplay goes, right?
Like, sure.
Power level discrepancies, omissions that feel like they should be in but just don't fit for some reason, like art style. And you're going to miss out on some of the coolest cards out of Innistrad, some of the Gristlebrands and Avacyns and Hellvaults of the world. If you decide to just go more Innistrad focused, you open all those things back up.
Right.
But, you know, your cube's a little bit more... There are probably more Avacyn theme, or, Innistrad themed cubes than there are Lovecraftian.
Yeah. Yeah.
With that in mind, I am a fan of whichever one gets more Eldrazi in here. Just jam them in. My favorite tribe, in case no one got that by now. Just more Eldrazi in the cube.
See, I didn't want... Thematically.
Uh-huh.
Both in... like Innistrad and in the mythos, right? The Eldrazi or the cosmic beings, whichever, you know, we could refer to either as the same thing. They aren't everywhere.
Yeah.
They only show up like every so often, or like they're, you know, they're kind of like the end game also, like the way Shadows Over Innistrad and Eldritch Moon presented it, right? In all of Shadows, we only got these little hints, like there's something going on. Everybody's like, oh, it's Emrakul, and like, and then just once, like, it's not Emrakul.
Once Emrakul dips her little pinky toe in the pool, like, then...
Yeah, then all then of a sudden everybody's fucking, like bursting with tentacles, and like all this stuff happens, right?
People are just exploding into monsters.
And my favorite part about... I mean, really any good, like, thriller, horror, mystery story is exactly that last one, mystery. Like, I like the Shrouded in the Unknown, so I don't want all these, like, creepy crawlies running around everywhere in my cube.
Oh, sure. So you want the build-up. You want the first four or five turns of the game to be like, oh, there's some shit happening. Oh, crack a clue, play this Thraven, investigate. Oh, what's he gonna find? Maybe magnifying glass. Oh, crazy. All right. And then, it was an Eldrazi the whole time.
I mean, I guess I wasn't thinking about it, like, playing out in games that way, but, like...
I mean, but that kind of...
The idea of the cube was supposed to be more mystery than, like, just crazy monsters running around everywhere, right?
Like, I mean, that seems like a pretty apt description in-game, though, right? Because there's going to be some gameplay... Like, if you only put expensive Eldrazi, or a few of them in...
Yes, yeah.
Then you have, you know, this build-up, there's some tension. What's going to happen? Is it going to... Oh, my God, time to play, here we go.
Yeah,
it was a fucking giant tentacle monster the whole time. Would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for goddamn Thalia and meddling kids.
Should I really put Scooby-Doo in here?
I mean, I would think about it. Thraven Inspector, you could put a whole playset of Thraven Inspector as the fucking Mystery Ink Gang.
And then,
oh!
Alter City.
That's great. You probably need to get Isamaru Hound of Kaaba. Scooby-Doo! Got it! Figured it out. Well, that's some quality craftsmanship right there. Are there other, like, detective-style cards?
Tireless Tracker.
So
Elite Inquisitor. That's one. He could be Fred. Sorry, are we getting too deep on that? I was just thinking.
That's going to be, like, the first caption on the blog post for this episode. Is Elite Inquisitor good enough to be Fred? Like,
he seems like kind of the leader, you know? I can see that. He's Fiend Hunter.
Yeah.
That's like, he's Shaggy. A hunter, not really, Shaggy can't hunt anything. That's crazy. What are you talking about? No, but like, you know, he could be, seems detective-y a little bit.
So, alright, yes, there are other detectives in the game.
Tamiyo Field Researcher. Boom!
I was gonna say one that goes along with the archetype I was talking about earlier, like trying to include clues.
Mm-hmm.
Daring Sleuth. Right?
Ooh, that's a perfect one. Yeah. Tireless Tracker, motherfucker.
Tireless Tracker.
That card's actually, like, fucking good.
It's in, yeah, we have that in here for sure.
Okay, alright. But. See, he so could be Shaggy. I know it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but at least he's green.
That's true.
Kind of makes sense, at least. And then we could alter Graph Mole to be the Scooby-Doo. Boom. Got it. Because Graph Mole's a beast, right?
Yeah.
No, you do so like
Scooby-Doo. He's a fucking animal. You see how much he eats? You know the kind of fucking workout that dog must get every day?
I mean, at that point, if you wanted to keep theme, you do like, you know, Thraven Purebloods or whatever the fucking...
Sure, yeah.
Hound thing.
That's way worse than Graph
Mole. Well, the card's also just not good.
Except that Scooby-Doo isn't a fucking mole.
Well, put some little tentacles on the end of his snoot. Whatever. Snoot. Is that not how you pronounce it?
Snout.
Snoot.
Snoot.
I seriously wish I could push my hand
my head. I really enjoy the fact that this episode is mostly not about the cube,
I
and more
also
about
wish
everything
it's
else.
It's a setup for the cube, though.
Sure.
If we're going to do a bunch of episodes, you know, we got to kind of build to it.
I mean, it is all about mystery, right?
Good segue. So what can I... Alright.
What?
I don't see, as I'm looking here, I just thought about this.
Yeah.
But I don't see a rest in peace. Or any other form of graveyard hate other than Thraven Heretic.
So, I'm gonna...
Which only exiles creatures, not flashback spells.
Correct. So... there's Vessel of Endless Rest as well.
I definitely use that to put some people's reanimated targets on the bottom of their deck.
Yeah. Ash Zealot, at least?
There's Ash Zealot in here as well.
All right. Sure.
So, and Ash Zealot was more the direction I wanted to take the form of, like, quote-unquote graveyard hate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is, from me as a player, what I like to do, rather than thinking about a balanced cube environment. I'm enjoying the new standard, even if I'm not playing it. In the fact that all these delirium strategies and, like, zombies and all this stuff is working, and they, like, everybody's like, wizards, give us some graveyard
hate.
Any graveyard
hate.
Anything.
Jesus.
And wizards is like, no, sorry, we're not.
Fuck
no,
off.
Yeah. They really wanted graveyards to be a thing, right? They want it to be a very integral part of this standard rotation.
Sure.
I want the graveyard to be a very integral part of this cube, and I want very little hate, or at least very little, like, direct hosing hate.
You know,
like,
that
rest
actually...
in peace.
No kidding. That
also,
actually, I think that makes a lot of sense gameplay-wise.
Yeah.
Because fucking monsters and fucking zombies and shit aren't that scary if you're just like, rest in peace, scavenging use, fuck off.
Yeah.
No, you have to feel, like, powerless. You have to, it's coming, no, I can't do anything. That's
well,
really,
that'd be sweet if an HP Lovecraft book, you know, one of them is like, and the humans cast a spell and they all went away.
The end!
Yeah.
Hello! I mean, I'm really hoping someone imprisons Emrakul in the moon at some point.
There is imprisoned in the moon in here.
Sweet.
There is a scavenging ooze. You mentioned that card. That card's in here. Like so, there's incidental hate throughout.
There were
but
a lot of
not...
oozes in H.P. Lovecraft's work.
There aren't, to my knowledge, like very specifically oozes.
Uh-huh.
Think of like
cubes, though.
Alec, you'll appreciate this. Like Lovecraft's work, and you've read some of Lovecraft's work, but Lovecraft's work. Is very akin to The Thing. Like, all of his...
Which is dope.
Which is awesome. Mason, watch The Thing with us.
I always think... Every time you say The Thing, I think it's It, and I picture the killer clown.
It's
really
not
confused.
A clown. Not at all. It's a grotesque,
a clown
indescribable...
Any sense in the...
Body-warping mass of flesh and blood and bone and...
Sounds
sheer
gross.
Terror.
I don't want to watch that. Jeez.
It's great. No, it's really great. Anyways, so like, and Lovecraft's work has a lot of these, in like, you know, one would say indescribable creatures, right?
Mm-hmm.
So oozes and stuff do go along with that. He doesn't ever specifically say, like, it was a slimy mass crawling towards whoever, you know, like, that doesn't really come up, but like, they certainly fit inside the mythos. So like,
okay.
Yes, there are some
sure.
oozes
I
in
did.
Here, like, inexorable blob.
Ooh.
And I kind of want to get a Predator ooze in. I'm not sure. Like, Triple Green's kind of a hard...
You totally want to get...
Necrotic ooze.
Yeah, that's my boy
yes,
right there.
That's my favorite card in all of Magic.
I know it is.
What about Mitotic Slime? I don't know what creature type Mitotic Slime is, but that card's
dope. It's an ooze.
Dope. Yeah. I thought so. That card's dope.
Yeah, Mitotic Slime's sweet. But anyways, I don't know, what were you...
Well, I had mentioned Graveyard Hate. There's
no there's no Rest in Peace.
And now that seems like it makes more sense, because in feeling powerless like you're going to die, I think not having Graveyard Hate makes a lot of sense.
But if you know you're going to die, wouldn't you rest in peace?
No, you'd probably rest screaming in bloody terror.
That's not rest.
As zombies devour. It's rest eventually. There is some resting to be had.
Wizards should print a card called Rest in Distress.
Just, it would be like a black card enchantment, and it just shows a guy laying there, like, and you can almost see him, like, you know, sleeping, but instead he's fucking screaming as he gets eaten alive by a zombie.
Wouldn't that be called Rest in Pieces?
Ayo! Alec at the pun counter on one. Alright. plus one to all future puns.
Don't worry, after this I'm gonna kill myself.
That's probably for the best.
Alright, so the lack of graveyard hate is acceptable.
Sure, yeah, I dig that.
Well, and thinking like, about especially when it's just so hosing.
Yeah.
You know, much the same as Wizards hasn't, you know, tried to put a ton of into standard, you know, I like playing with essentially two hands.
Yeah.
Which is what that sort of graveyard access can give you. And as long as it's properly balanced, I think it's totally reasonable. You know, sure. Maybe a few corner cases, because, like, you know, getting both Gravecrawlers can be a huge problem. Yeah. You know, there has to be some amount of balancing in order to ensure that it just doesn't get way out of hand.
Yeah.
Man, so there is not a Hell Vault in here, obviously, right?
No. But, no.
See, I was thinking about...
so slow.
It is. I was just thinking about more top-end stuff for white.
Oh, sure. I was thinking about
Open the Vaults, which really only makes sense if there's a Hell Vault. This is where my mind wanders to while you guys speak. Like, this is... These are the kind of real deep questions that I think to myself.
Is it way off theme to put in something like Planar Cleansing? Because, like, that kind of, like, the idea, generally speaking, is that, like, the monsters kind of win, right? Like,
yeah.
Humans kind of fucked. You know, Planar Cleansing kind of implies the opposite, that they're like, well, fuck it, we'll just, you know, just press the button, nuke it all.
Yeah.
You know, suck it, Cthulhu.
I mean, like, just the phrase Planar Cleansing certainly fits with Cthulhu, right? Like...
Yeah, right. But it's a white card, so it's like, it seems peculiar.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how deep you want to go on the theming.
Yeah.
You know, again, one of the things I noticed immediately was the presence of no wraths in white.
Yeah.
Sure.
Seemed rather odd.
And especially the fact that some of those wraths are more expensive, some of the Descend Upon the Sinfuls, or like you just said, Planar Cleansing. Like, those cards are a little bit more expensive and might give white a little bit more of a dimension in the top end.
Sure.
Which it might need, I mean...
That's true. That's actually really something that I hadn't thought too heavily on. Like, I was very, very focused on, like, the humans matter, and the spirits matter, and the tokens matter synergies. Like, I just really drove white into those. Like, I mean, like, if you look at the curve, it's, like, all ones, twos, and threes, right? We have a total of 7 4-drop creatures, 1 5-drop, one 7-drop. There's not even a 6-drop creature. There's just triplicate spirits that kind of acts like that. And then Micaeus is your curve filler at any point, right? Mm-hmm. So,
and since there are no planeswalkers in your cube.
Yes, there's also, that's another distinction I should mention on here, there's absolutely zero planeswalkers in the whole cube.
So you're missing out on one, the cool planeswalkers from Innistrad, everyone's hero and mine, Tybalt. Thank you.
I like Tybalt thematically, like in Magic lore. The card is garbage.
Card's really good, though. I mean, it takes a dedicated Mason. Human being.
This is where all of our listeners are going to vote you off the podcast.
It's not true, though. Our listeners could challenge me in some format where we draft each other, and I will fucking build something with Tybalt in it, and I will wreck those people. I don't know how.
Why don't you just say you're going to fight them all, too? Why
not? I'll fucking fight them all, too. I don't give a fuck. Bring it on.
I'm Tiny Rick!
I should go home and watch Rick and Morty. That sounds great. Bye, guys.
It is great.
Oh, wait.
podcasting, right? I guess. What color combinations do you think? Do you think white pairs with everything? So
you've there's
got black white. You've got aristocrats.
There's a black white tokens theme for sure, right?
White red. You've got
white humans. White red is humans. Just general aggression. There's a light token theme, but it's mostly like sure. go wide. Sure. You know, white green is the biggest humans.
Right.
Like that's straight the human
meaty,
tribal. Yeah.
Meaty human.
Yeah, there's multiple Hamlet captains
big old
and stuff
white
like that.
Weenies.
So
well
yeah.
and the werewolves on the front side are all humans.
Yes, the
they
white
are,
yeah.
which is
so,
super
and a lot of
the, awesome.
A lot of those are red and or green. So like there's a white you could have a white humans matter splash to your red or green werewolf mm-hmm. deck.
And that's actually funny because in Shadows Over Innistrad, a lot of the ways you would get some humans in your deck. In
yeah,
your white green human sex. You'd play the werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the better ones
yep.
were,
and
real slam dunks.
White and blue are like
spirits. Right?
Spirits, like
yeah,
completely
spirits.
So
and then okay, so that all makes sense. That
yeah, so white has dope. A way to pair with every other color thematically and
okay.
mechanically.
Are all the colors do you think going to have that somewhat of a synergy pairing up everywhere?
It should. Yeah, they okay. shall. They all should. Like if we run down it like. If we go to blue next, blue-green is like the self-mill.
Sure, spider-spawning.
Spider-spawning, or like clues.
Yeah, maybe
or,
some clues.
We already said blue-white is spirits, blue-red is burning vengeance, spells matter, stuff like that.
Okay.
Blue-black. Blue-black is zombies.
Sure,
so,
right.
Or mill your opponent. So
okay. And we'll dig into then, more of the color combinations.
Yeah, but it's like, so
go,
each
but,
one,
okay.
they just, I mean, very similar to all of Innistrad's draft, like triple
right.
Innistrad draft
mm-hmm.
archetypes. That's kind of where all the colors are pointing in the directions. So.
Well, see, and I think that's really important in when you're designing a new cube like this, especially a themed cube. I know I see a lot of lists for people's tribal cubes.
Yeah.
And the tribes are nice, but especially when you get into some of the classic tribes in Magic. Elves and goblins and wizards or whatever, you know, or merfolk, that's the one.
Yeah.
When you get to the real classic tribes in Magic, it doesn't take very much for you to just completely fill out your section, your colored sections with lords.
Yeah.
Or really, you know,
yeah.
almost primo cards of that particular tribe that pay you in addition. So what you wind up having is these super narrow decks. Like,
mm-hmm.
you just start picking merfolk, and then you never pick anything that's not a merfolk, and you just hope that you picked an open tribe and got
yeah.
there, you know?
Yeah.
And I think what a lot of people kind of mistake when they build their cubes, their tribal cubes, their themed cubes, is they don't really just take into consideration, well, like, what are my color pairs doing? Like,
yeah.
can I draft an aggressive strategy of, you know, this color combination? If I'm drafting red X, can it just be, like, aggressive? Or does it have to be goblins every time?
Right, yeah.
No one wants to be the third guy in humans or goblins or elves.
Yeah.
And have a crappy three-color deck where none of your lords matter and everything's terrible.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've at least put some thought into the different color pairs makes me think you've probably thought about this a lot more than I have.
Yeah. Well, and especially with the additions of, you know, like the new shadows and all that, you started to see some guys come across the colors.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
very much like they did with Lorwyn. Lorwyn, they did very good about making it so that you could draft a tribe, but you could also draft in other colors.
Yeah.
Now, part of that was the presence of, like, shapeshifters and stuff like
yeah.
that, so you could still get away with that sort of thing.
Yeah. And hybrid mana. Like,
yeah.
Being able to, like, you know, pick a double red card that also fit in your blue-white deck. You know, that because it was double blue instead, like,
right.
it was great.
Or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
yeah, so there was that, but especially with the additions of those new sets, I think it's totally possible to have some smattering of a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, it just so happens that werewolves on their front side, a lot of them were humans. Not all
yeah.
of them, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know, so you always got to do that in what is now green and red. You know, there are some black ones, you know, black humans... Or
mm-hmm.
even there's the one white flip guy who's white on the front and black on the back.
There's a couple of them now because there was Cloistered Youth and like Loyal Cathar, and now there's the Pie. We're the one
pious
actually running
thing.
Is Pious Evangel.
Yeah,
you know, flips over.
There's
he's black
that guy.
And that guy.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
There's no Cloistered Youth in here, huh?
There's not.
Interesting.
Is that an oversight?
Well, I'm coming back to this Lone Rider.
Didn't mean to cut you off. I like.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's my bad. I'm really bad about that. I was thinking about this Lone Rider, and I'm just thinking, like, I feel like that card's really narrow. It's, like, overly narrow, and I don't know how much value you're getting out of the flavor of it when it could be maybe just a quality 2-drop. Like, Cloistered Youth isn't bad. It's sure. totally fine. It's no Porcelain Legionnaire, but, you know, the Toilet Knight himself can't make an appearance here. It's not Mirrodin.
The Toilet Knight?
You've never heard it called that?
No.
No.
Well, he's the, Yeah, he's the mono white. Yeah,
the mono white Toilet Knight.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't. Trying to think of another clever name for it, but yeah, that's basically.
Well, I'm just wondering where toilet comes from.
Porcelain.
Oh.
Hey, what's that thing Alec keeps saying about jokes?
Jokes aren't funny when you have to explain them.
All right, well, to be fair, this time I just totally didn't get that. That was a massive...
Unlike what Josh was doing.
Killing myself.
That's one of those things that I would have expected, like a phrase that I would expect you to come up with.
Oh, I'm a child. Like, that should have been... I should have been all over that. And I am legitimately ashamed of myself.
So, all right. I know, in general, like... cube building, and even, like, down to deck building, it's generally bad to try and build around one card that isn't even, like, the most powerful card in the deck, right? Or an engine piece.
Right.
So, like, for the sake of Lone Rider, it's probably worse to start throwing in a bunch of incidental life gain attached to other things to make Lone Rider work when the rest of your cube works so much better, like, instead of Lone Rider. What if I really like Lone Rider? Mason, can you help me make Lone Rider work? And this is a question that I'm doing this specifically because I know people at home that listen. Not everybody drafts super competitively. Not everybody builds their EDH decks, their cubes, whatever, you know, with the most competitive mindset. Yeah. They like certain cards. They have their pet cards, right? Lone Rider is actually a pet card of mine. I really like that card. I really love the backside of that card. I want this guy to flip a lot. What are some cards on theme that we could add in? Like,
well, it's actually easy, and I bet you have a bunch of the cards in already. Because Lone Rider doesn't ask too much of you. It asks, you know, you gain 3 or more life in a turn, and which is easy because it already has lifelink.
Yeah.
Where you get into making Lone Rider good is if you just have a bunch of cards that are good that turn on your Lone Rider. Cards like Faith's Fetters that you have in the white section.
Yep.
But more importantly, the really easy way to turn on Lone Rider is just equipment.
And there's a bunch
of Humans Matter equipment.
Your Butcher's Cleaver, your Silver Inlaid Dagger.
Exactly, your Sharpened Pitchfork.
Yeah.
Good for riots. Also, Ogre Hunting, in case you get that far.
And basic agricultural needs.
Exactly. I mean, we can't forget the meat of the Innistrad Plain. You know,
they're for veggies.
It's for grains.
I mean, you could use them, poke a cow or something, get them fucking moving, right? Hey, we don't want you getting eaten by Eldrazi. Fucking get in the barn. Go.
Too late!
And then you have a zombie cow. Shit's getting all kinds of fucked up, Alec, because you weren't prepared to poke the cow at the pitchfork. Way to go.
You were too worried about your grains.
Or I had a cattle prod.
There are no cattle prods in Innistrad. You're so dumb sometimes. I swear to God.
Oh my God. Alright, anyways. So suiting Lone Rider up.
Suit Lone Rider.
Or buffing him with random enchantments.
Yeah,
there's... Like Always Watching. Or your...
Where is the...
Gold Knight Commander.
Wait, where's the... Bum. It's the 2-mana enchantment.
Oh, Bonds of Faith?
Yeah, that's the one. Where is it?
It's currently not in the first draft. A card that was on my list. You can write it down if you want.
Interesting.
It was definitely a card that I thought about because it does double up, right? It was one of the better cards in the White Humans deck in Innistrad Draft because it doubled up as either a buff for your own guys or pseudo removal for your opponent's guys, right?
Yeah, it was most of the time a removal spell, right? And it was a good removal spell.
Yeah.
Situations where you were playing against these awkward human decks and it absolutely couldn't be a removal spell, then it was fine because you would strap it onto whatever you had, and that generally made it the biggest creature on the board you could get in. It coincidentally buffs Lone Rider up to being a 3-3 that flips himself over.
Yeah.
But then he flips over and is not a human anymore and can't attack. So that's not a great one. Just in case you were wondering. Not a great combo. I did all the work for you, don't worry.
It was all a test?
It was all a test.
This is why it wasn't in there in the first place.
Really?
Yes.
That's a good point.
No.
I do proposition you that you could...
It's not funny when you have to explain it, Alec.
You could then sacrifice the Bonds of Faith to your Bound by Moonsilver. By the way, this is going to be one of the most powerful cards in the cube.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This card's nuts. It's really good. It also makes it so you can't transform, though, so you put it on one.
You sacrifice the Bonds of Faith with your Bound by Moonsilver to move it onto Lone Rider.
That doesn't make any sense.
But then he can't...
Well, I mean, he's never going to flip back anyway, right? Is there a card that forces cards to flip back over? Other than Moon Mist, I mean.
Moon Mist only transforms all humans.
Okay, sure.
So,
sure.
No.
That's what I'm saying. There's no way to flip, you know, most of these things from their reverse
side. Ixodron?
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. Shut up.
Turn all cards face down, but if they're already face down, like they're on the flip side, you just flip them back over.
I know
over.
That...
Is that actually how that would work?
It's not.
Put it face down.
So the thing is, flip cards are actually really misleading. I don't know, obviously you're trolling me, but for anyone who doesn't know, flip cards, you're not... The actual physical flipping of the magic card is not a game action. Like, that doesn't...
Transforming doesn't use the stack. It's like morph, right?
It just is a thing that happens, and technically the bottom side of that card or whatever, it doesn't count as a flipped creature, you know?
Right.
If you had a some kind of something that affects morphs. There's an enchantment that gives all your secret plans.
Yeah, secret plans.
And it says like face down cards.
Or manifesting does it too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Manifesting puts cards face
down. Right. Yep.
But my Lone Rider is not face down. It's actually the Lone Rider doesn't exist, and it's just it that rides as one.
It has no other side.
So if you flipped it face down, it would get face down as a Lone Rider, and then when it got flipped back over, it would just be Lone Rider again.
So your It That Rides as One doesn't exist if an Ixodron flips your Lone Rider.
It would be the same as, you know, plowing It That Rides at One, It That Rides as One, and when it goes to exile, it's not that, it's just Lone Rider. Because there's always Lone Rider.
Yeah.
Anytime you affect what zone it's in or, you know, move the card around, it's always going to come back as Lone Rider because that was what the card was originally. So... Lone Rider is not so hard to make work. You probably have most of the pieces already just to, you know,
turn actually, him I don't have as many power. Equipment as you'd think that I'd have.
Oh, why not?
Because, well, this is going to sound really... It already sounds bad in my head before I even say it.
All
right. I feel like a lot of the equipment in Innistrad sucks.
Okay.
And it's too low a power. But then, of course, I'm including these low-powered cards in my other sections.
That's a terrible argument.
So, yeah,
I agree with you. Really bad logic.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's a grind clock in here, and you're worried that Sharpen Pitchfork isn't powerful enough. That's the worry. That's the concern that you're...
Do you have the struggle? Is the torch in there?
No, I don't even have Blazing Torch in there.
Blazing Torch is great. You should definitely put it in here.
Okay.
The coal is
and Skull Clamp.
Skull Clamp's in there.
Yeah, Skull Clamp might be a little...
too powerful?
When you put Blazing Torch and Skull Clamp next to each other in the same limited environment, there's a... there's a weird feeling going on there. Maybe a little... What is that?
People can tell by... Once we look at those lists, like, listeners at home, when you look at the list at the end of this podcast, you're going to see what decks I like to play the most, because all of the most powerful cards for those decks exist in this cube. The rest was like... Yeah, I drafted some Innistrad. I was just going to jam what I thought was the best.
Just looking at the colorless section, I really can tell. Because you're like, oh, well, you've got, you know, Skull Clamp and Ashnod's Altar and, you know, Phyrexian Altar, whatever these fucking sack outlet idiots
have. You
have
Ashnod's Altar in there?
Yeah.
Isn't that like the ultimate flavor fail because of the name?
Names don't matter.
What?
Okay, that's not true. That was a joke. Look at the art on that card, though. It's a zombie in a mad science lab.
I don't think it was supposed to be a zombie. I thought it was just a decaying dude. Like, there's a difference, alright? Zombies have to be reanimated. This guy just looks like he's
You don't know that he hasn't been.
Well, If you work at sawing up carcasses, you notice how the joints fit, how the nerves are arrayed, and how the
sewing
skin peels back.
Sewing up carcasses. That would imply zombie to me.
I mean, well, he's obviously dead or in some state of decay. I'm just saying, if you look at the art, what set is this? Conspiracy or something?
No, that's Eternal Masters.
Okay, if you look at the art on the Eternal Masters Ashnod's altar, let us know. Do you think it's a zombie or do you think it's just like... I just think it's a body. I don't think it's a zombie. Like,
he's not a zombie
if
yet.
It was
he's
a zombie,
clearly about to be.
Do you think he's trying to scientifically engineer zombies in that?
Yeah, that's part? What Giralf does.
Yeah, but Ashnod's not Giralf.
Then I'm going to alter that one to be Giralf's altar.
Good. I hope you do.
So actually, we're going to get into talking about proxying stuff. Because I'm... And this will come when we talk about lands, but there's some things I'd like to do.
So I was just going to throw this out there.
Definitely break the mold of cube building.
I can tell Josh at some point went, I like aristocrats. I'm going to put a skull clamp in here.
Yep.
And it's like, oh, what about that self-mill strategy? What should that have? It's like, oh, I don't know. Put like a grind clock. And a Grimoire of the Dead, that'll probably work. Just toss it in there. Toss it.
What did you call
it'll
it?
Be fine. A Grimoire of the Dead.
Grimoire.
Oh, do you call it Grimoire? Ugh. Oh, must be nice to be Alec. Shut up. I know how to pronounce
so
that.
So the self-mill strategy actually is enforced heaviest in the artifact section by Altar of Dementia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I got that. There's got to be some way in this cube to discard cards, right?
Madness is a huge thing in this cube, so...
Holy shit, actually, Ensnaring... Oh, I wish... If there was a way to make Ensnaring Bridge fit flavorfully, Ensnaring Bridge would be fucking awesome.
It's not that off of flavor, really.
I...
Like, the idea of a bridge that's alive.
Ensnaring Bridge might be too powerful.
It probably is, but...
I'm thinking about, like, when you play it in your Spells Flashback Graveyard Matters Madness deck, and
yeah.
I'm like, man, that's...
Well, dude, you could have a full fucking grip, and Emmy still couldn't come at you, like... Something about that doesn't seem okay.
That's true. There would also be, like, you know, you're using Cold Bloodline, you're looping to discard, you know, all your junky cards,
yeah.
And you're, you know, flashing stuff back for value, you're flashing back your two copies of Lingering Souls that exist for some reason, and then... You've got all these one-power idiots, you finally go untap, draw for the turn. Oh, I've got one card in hand, all my one-power fucking nerds can attack. And then you just go back to having zero cards in hand. That seems... Ensnaring Bridge at least toes the line of being completely unfun.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the worst. But... That sounds fucking dope. Just throwing it out there. Ensnaring Bridge is one I would think about.
Sure. I think if we up the power level a little bit, like, I'm okay with that.
Ensnaring Bridge is something you can search off of Trophy Mage.
It is.
In case we needed to touch on that one more time. That's for the listeners at home that are still listening. Okay, keep up the good fight.
All right, let's move back into white a little bit. Do you have anything more to say about it? Do you think that there's...
I think without digging into the rest of the cube too much, I don't know where everything's at yet, so... Just initial, you know, look, all the cards seem fine. I mean...
You think maybe there should... Well, Mason, do you think there should be more Champion of the Parish?
I mean, Champion's great. I did mention before how I thought there maybe should be more Thraven Inspectors.
Yeah, well, I was going to go there, but then I wanted to start at the top of the list. And
Champions more Champions is interesting, at least. More Champions... On the one hand... I like the idea of it being this pillar card, this really neat, wow, I got the Champion of the Parish. It's super awesome. It's going to go perfectly in this deck that I want to draft. At the same time, I do realize that obviously it's much better when you have a bunch of them.
Yeah.
Consistency with that card would be really important. I don't think you need more than one, but I could certainly see more than one. I mean, it's really good, and it's probably the best card in a lot of those decks.
I think two would be gratuitous.
Yeah.
Like, it is very good, but I think you start adding multiples, it snowballs a little too hard.
Sure.
And when I said fucking Skull Clamp, dude, I was kidding. I didn't think you were actually going to put it in there.
Well,
that card seems nuts.
Yeah. It seems pretty fucked up looking at this white section.
I was gonna say, yo.
Champion of the Parish, add the Townsfolk, attack for three, then just play Skull Clamp. Can't lose.
Dude, you've got fucking Gravecrawler in here. It says one mana divination.
What do you think he was thinking about the whole time he was beating off while he built this cube? That's all it was. Oh, and then I'll sacrifice it, then I'll replay it, and I'll trigger Burning Vengeance.
Oh, it's good as Burning Vengeance too, man. Fuck that. Take it out. It's bullshit.
It is a bunch of bullshit.
But yeah, I mean, it's... and what I'm also kind of concerned, there are no like 5 or 6 drop spirits that are worth playing? None at all?
There's the 5-drop Gallows Warden that gives all your spirits +0/+1.
Yeah, he's real bad, isn't he?
Well, he's not great. I'm just saying he exists.
Well, yeah, but don't put me on this pillar here. That's right? Blue, though, isn't it?
No.
No,
you're the Battleground Geist.
Which is actually good.
He anthems the front side, yeah. So
he's probably in, right?
He was in the rough draft, whoa, but I just cut him recently. So
yeah.
I'm playing 2 Drogskull Captains and 2 Rattle Chains.
Do you have any Phantasmal Images?
No Phantasmal Images. That's a good one, though. That's Lovecraftian.
We'll put it down on the list.
Yeah, please
and
do.
And that card is super dope.
Yeah.
And it's a combo with Drogskull Captain. See, if you played more Standard, you'd know that.
I played that Standard. That was the Standard that I played. Well, I knew then all about
you
it.
Should know that.
I
remember you locking me up with Stormhorn Dignitary and Phantasmal Image a lot.
A lot.
You should be on this. Right? You need to... Come on, Josh.
All right.
I'm not going to always be here. Hit that.
I don't know about spirits, Al. Yeah, I'll tell you, the best 5-drop spirit that you can play in any format ever is Karmic Guide. Is a spirit angel. Oh. It was the angel type line that cut it out of this cube.
Yeah.
But if we went back to adding angels, like, obviously Karmic Gisela, Bruna, Abyssin, and a Karmic Guide would be...
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a... And then I think the good Sigarda. Not that they're both not good, but the new one is way better.
The new one is, I would argue, is better, but I would argue, like, for different reasons, probably.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean...
I think it's better for gameplay than it is just a strictly better Magic card.
Well, I actually think it is better. I do think that the original Sigarda can be better in certain scenarios, but the new Sigarda is better, just in general, and this is actually one for any of you guys, even in your normal cubes. The new Sigarda is actually very good because it locks up a lot of games.
Yeah.
That could normally get away from you. If you're playing against any kind of aggressive deck, you almost take away their out to either burn you out, right? When they're trying to draw enough burn spells in a short amount of time to finish you off, you play Sigarda, and that can completely shut them down, right? Because they're going to need to point at least 5 damage worth of burn spells at your Sigarda before they can start going after your face. And that can lock up the game a lot of the time. If you're playing against an aggressive deck that's trying to get white on the board on you, you just make a bunch of tokens.
Yeah. Oh, dude, and have Dearly 3/5, Departed.
You know,
yeah, I thought about Dearly Departed.
Ooh, Dearly Departed's a good one.
Yeah,
Dearly right, yeah, Departed. Yeah, that was just a quick note on Sigarda. That card's
sure.
Actively pretty good. I would recommend it for a lot of people. What about
Spirit of the Hearth?
What's that do?
That's Cat Spirit, but it's a 4/5 flyer for 6. It says, you have Hexproof.
You have Hexproof.
Yo, say it's the really Morning Star! Vengeance. It's a Durgan spirit.
Is it one of the long tentacly dragons, or does it have, like, legs and shit?
He's a tentacly dragon.
Ooh, got this.
He's not figured it out.
Let's see. That's Yosei. I've seen the art for it a million times. Never really paid that close of attention. That card's great, though.
The card's really good, but not thematic.
I guess.
Not even on Innistrad is it thematic.
It would also probably lead to a lot of really unfun games. Like, Yosei! I can't really attack into it with my big idiots. I guess go. And you're like, haha, sacrifice it, cast my burial rites. You're dead!
I've done that Field before. Okay. Ooh, you could do Balefire Liege.
Balefire Liege is in.
Oh, okay. Ooh, it is already... Suck it,
it's idiot. In the Boros section.
Oh, that's a great one, though. Belfry Spirit?
That's a good one.
That card's
makes 2
gas.
Bats.
Yeah.
Divinity of
and it haunts.
It's, isn't it a 1/1 for like 5 though?
Yeah,
that's so bad.
No, it has to be a 1/1 so that it haunts.
Well, it comes into play and makes a 1/1, so it's like 2 power.
Well, it's
of flying.
It's 2 1/1s, right?
Yeah. Well, it puts in bats though.
Yeah, 2 bats
spirits.
It itself is a spirit though. Yes.
You play him, you get 2.
How much does it cost?
Sacrifice.
Is it 4 and 1 white?
3
you
white.
Sacrifice it for value.
Double white.
Come on, you guys are so narrow-minded. You sacrifice it for value, then you put it on another thing.
You skull
then
clamp
you
it.
Sacrifice that thing for value.
So much value. Four bats. What? Crazy.
How about...
See, Skull Clamp it. Draw two cards. Haunt your other 1/1. Skull Clamp that one. Draw two cards. Now you have four bats and four cards.
Dude, get the fuck out of here. How about Ghost Tactician? It costs 4 and a white. It's a spirit spell shaper. It says white tap, discard a card. Creatures you control get +1/+0 until end of turn.
It's not the worst.
Wait, did you say that it was an untap ability or a tap
ability? No, it's a tap ability, but it discards a card. So if you have a Madness theme, that's so, a thing.
That card is not terrible because it triggers Madness in your white-red decks.
Sure.
Which brings me to a card that's much better that does the same thing. Stern Constable.
Yeah, what about Stern Constable?
Well, Stern Constable was massively underrated for the most part in Shadows Over Innistrad. Limited, and that was because he was so good in your aggressive decks, right? He was a one drop, and sometimes that's important when you just need to curve. Having any body on one that can then get bonuses later on down the road, especially in the white section of this cube here that has so many different ways to pump up your team, you know, going one drop, two drop, always watching is so much better than going just a two drop into your anthem, especially with a card like Stern Constable at his tap ability.
Mm-hmm.
But Stern Constable also fires up your Madness cards. So now if you have some reasonable cards like Fiery Temper or whatever that you could see putting into your red-white humans deck, now maybe you have something like a Mad Prophet on your red side, maybe you have a Stern Constable on your front on your white, that give you a couple different ways to turn on either a Delirium card that you might have, or a Delve spell that might be kicking around somewhere. Obviously not in red-white, because there are none, but maybe in black-white or something like that. I mean, Stern Constable is a reasonably good Magic card. It's at least better, I would imagine, than Selfless Cathar in that same red-white style deck.
Sure.
Obviously, one of them tilts a little bit more toward the human beatdown, one of them tilts a little bit more toward the token beatdown, but I think Stern Constable is probably a more powerful card. Maybe there's just room to add more. Maybe there's just room to add more one drops.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the argument for not having a bunch of Doom Travelers or Champion of the Parishes or Therium Inspectors. Maybe actually just forcing the variety in there.
Yeah.
And making yourself play all the different one drops.
Sure.
Because they're kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is the best argument
for even if we still want like two Doom Travelers, we cut cut the third Doom Traveler for a Constable.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Sure.
So
doesn't seem unreasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that about cover it for white for us, or
I don't know, Alec, are you still looking at spirits?
I saw all the ones that Facebook.
Yeah.
What a nerd.
No, I listed all the ones that I wanted.
You didn't name Blinking Spirit.
I said all the ones that I wanted, motherfucker. You can name whatever ones you want. Don't want
Blinking Spirit?
Not bad enough to look for, no.
Yeah. Got me there.
Okay.
Sound about right? Is there anything you specifically wanted to touch on? I know you probably thought about this a lot. Was there?
I am.
Obviously, as we talk about other colors, we're going to kind of touch back on, oh, hey, I remember seeing this.
Yeah.
I remember talking about these cards.
How cool is that card? Spirit Bonds.
Spirit Bonds? I was looking at it. It's a very cool engine.
Yeah.
One of those that easily could have been in Innistrad.
Right.
But isn't.
Yeah.
What does that card do? It was a card from Kamigawa. I think it's called Promise of
Bunrai. Yeah.
That's what, when you play a creature or a creature dies, it sacrifices and you get like four spirits or something?
Yeah. They're colorless non-flying spirits. Yeah.
That card's great.
It's a 3-mana enchantment.
It's like Standstill, except it gives you dudes.
It's a 3-mana enchantment that I think it just says when one of your creatures die, you sacrifice the enchantment and you get four spirits.
Yeah.
Okay. That card is gas.
Seems fine.
It's just kind of sweet.
I mean,
it's
you're like playing with fucking Skull Clamp. Seems pretty good.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yuck.
All right, so, Probably
Skull Clamp. I mean, look, Skull Clamp's probably the best card in the cube. It's at least got my vote for best card so far. Probably just edging out Bygone Bishop.
Yeah, Bygone two and a white. Whenever a creature you control dies, sacrifice Promise of Boonray. If you do, put 4/1/1 color spirit tokens into play.
Does the art not do it for you? Would that
be it's a guy breaker? Committing seppuku with a katana.
He's a, well, like, he's a samurai, you know, that's...
Yeah.
The word. Does that kind of kill it for the cube edition, or is that something you could
I mean, about? Thematically, it fits pretty awesome, but, yeah, I mean, art-wise, no, it's a complete fail, so it might have to be, like...
Damn.
This is an area I wanted to touch on, proxying functional reprints of existing cards with different titles or different art to, like, fit the cube thematically. Mm-hmm. This is something that could not be represented very well on Cube Tutor. But, you know, so people looking at the list online, you know, might think some things look a little weird. But,
Why bother? Well, at that point, you
can... I actually think the better argument would be not alter names. Like, so, printing... And this works really well because you're an altarist and everything.
Yeah.
By the way, if you guys have not checked out his altar page, I know you haven't updated it in a while, right?
I just haven't gotten any commissions in a while, but yeah.
But I commissioned you for an altar like a couple weeks ago and you never got back to me about it. I'm just throwing it out
there. Yeah, the Harambe. Yeah, I haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just throwing it out there. That would be a great thing to do and then post it to your page. Give everyone a nice peek into the inner workings of the Richter lens.
Yes.
But... Josh is an altarist. He does some really awesome alters. And I think altering arts to fit makes a lot of sense. Altering card names, probably overly confusing.
Sure.
Just because, I mean, it's people are now, like, drafting, and, oh, like, what's this card? I've never seen it before. Oh, it just is kind of, like, especially a card like this that some people might not even know exists.
Yeah.
Oh, I just had a thought. How do you feel about Talawisp?
I don't remember what Talawisp does.
Talawisp?
I feel like...
Whenever you play a spirit or arcane spell, I think. It might not have the arcane spell clause, but it's whenever you play a spirit. You get to search your library for an enchantment and put it in your hand, I think.
For an enchant creature card.
Enchant creature.
So an aura.
Right.
Yeah.
An aura. That card used to be in this stupid deck called Ghost Dad.
It was
some pop culture reference, I don't know. But... There are a bunch of auras in here that are pretty sweet. A lot of removal spells in white here. But Talawisp, Spirit, hello, what? Mm-hmm. Super powerful, right? Like, that seems dope. Hey, okay? I know it's got that little arcane clause. You have to ignore that.
Yeah.
White out or something.
Sure.
And then slowly begin the process of altering every word, one word to the left.
Wow.
Be pretty exhausting. Might be worth
it,
though.
Yeah, there are. I'm not running too many auras, am I?
Well, just you've got Faith's Fetters, Bound by Moonsilver, Choking Restraints. There's Bonds of Faith if you put it in, which I do think should probably
It could certainly fit. Yeah.
So basically a bunch of removal spells, which is cool because, I mean, I know when I'm curving out with my Blue-White Spirit deck, I would love to play a 2-drop that said every time you play a creature for the rest of the game, go get a removal spell.
Yeah.
Seems pretty fucking sweet, right?
Yeah. That's
kind of perfect. And also, it might open up, like, some cool, you know, options for cards for the cube.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, that's true.
I'm not saying Talawisp is necessarily the build around me. Oh, you want three of it.
Yeah.
But there are certainly times where you're like, you know, maybe this Steel of the Godhead or whatever is good enough because there are all these blue-white, multicolored spirits. You're like, but I'm not sure, but...
Could go get Spectral Flight.
You can get it off of... Yeah, you can get Spectral Flight and put it on Invisible Stalker. You can get
Fuck it, put in three dreams.
Oh, so there's no Invisible Stalker.
Really? Just because you didn't think it was fun, or...?
I don't know, it never did anything for me.
It never did anything for you, as in...
Like,
it didn't tickle you in the downstairs place, or, like, it didn't...
Yeah, so, like, I understand, like... the bane of people's existence that is Invisible Stalker. Like, I understand how good that card was in draft, right? Like, it was a whole archetype, was picking up as many Invisible Stalkers as you could in equipment. It was, or Spectral Flights, and it was awesome. But, I don't know, yeah, like, unblockable Hexproof, like, in a limited environment, just, like, there was a lot of griefing attached to that card. And I don't know, I just tried to avoid that a little bit.
Yeah, but now we got that stupid fucking, like, magnifying glass thing that says, no, okay, you guys...
Okay, magnifying glass is gotta be...
It's not in there.
It needs to be.
Okay.
Magnifying glass is the fucking nuts.
Really?
Yeah, magnifying glass is not only super powerful, but it's also super fucking sweet.
No, I was thinking of the card that just makes your cards that have hexproof not have hexproof anymore.
That was like search.
Spectral Searchlight. I
think. Yeah, whatever. Wait,
that's the one that you have in here.
Yeah.
What's the one? I don't remember. It's not important.
It's Mine's a bad magic card.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
There's a land that does it too, right?
Yeah, Arcane Lighthouse does it.
Arcane Lighthouse does that.
Yeah.
Still bad. It is a lighthouse though. That's kind of cute, right? Is that?
Yeah, but Desolate Lighthouse is already Cthulhu-y. In here. Yes, it is, because a lot of stuff in H.P. Lovecraft mythos happened on the ocean, so...
Yeah, I imagine it happened on the ocean because he really wanted to put a lighthouse in there.
That was exactly it. He got it.
You know what? I bet he lost his virginity in a lighthouse, and he just really had a fetish for lighthouses.
Maybe.
I believe that. Like, if someone told me that, I'd believe it. What was the card we were just talking
Magnifying
about?
Magnifying Glass.
Magnifying Glass. That's one that I'll ramble about when we talk about Colossus cards, but yeah. Oh man, Magnifying Glass, get ready for it, guys. That card is, whoo-wee! You want to talk about a card that should go in Legacy Cube? Magnifying Glass. I'm sold. Boom. Card's great.
Yeah? You feel that strongly about it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty dope. Alright, guys, well, this was fun talking about the white section of the cube.
Yeah.
More episodes incoming.
Many.
Many. Talking about the Horror Cube. Building this baby from the ground up.
This episode was almost 2 hours, so...
Oh, shit. Well, there were a few things you probably edited out, so... Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Alex is going to pass out at the table. So, we're going to call it a night.
Yep.
I know you wanted to talk more and more and more, but...
I really did. I wanted to, like, spread the whole thing out. I should have just made one giant table and we could just pull it over.
We should have done that.
Yeah.
And we should have spent less time talking about whatever bullshit we did.
Yeah.
Because, damn.
It's okay.
Alrighty. Signing off.